Good morning, all you Blue Jays fans out there, and welcome to the Jaybird Watching Gamecast. I am Craig Borden, your host, as typical. So, anyways, all this talented youth that I've been telling you throughout the minor league system is starting to translate in a big way at the major league level as the Blue Jays beat up the White Sox in a 7-4 win to improve to 48-56. It was pretty much led by two youngsters yesterday, and Ryan Borucki was the main key on the mound. Ryan Borucki has got a 2.83 ERA after six starts now, and in my opinion, has fully cemented his spot in this rotation. Six innings of work yesterday from him, only allowing six hits, two earned runs, walked just one batter, and struck out five as he completely controlled the strike zone for these White Sox hitters. And don't rest on the Chicago White Sox either, as they are a very young and talented team, just looking for experience. And Ryan Borucki went toe-to-toe with future ace Carlos Rodon, and Rodon was on fire through 7 2/3 until the Blue Jays finally get to him and take the lead. And then the Blue Jays just completely attacked the bullpen of the Chicago White Sox in the top of the ninth inning. We will get to that shortly. So the other talented youth that I want to make sure I mention, Lourdes Gurriel Jr. And sweet Lord, has he been on fire. 11 games in a row with multi-hit performances. He is the first rookie to do that many games in a row with multi-hit performances since Shoeless Joe Jackson in the year 1911. So, been a little while. And now he ranks third in Major League Baseball, period, in the record books. Tied with a plethora of Hall of Fame names and just insanely good talent from Lourdes Gurriel Jr. as he goes 3-for-5 with this game with another two RBIs. Just insane production from the youngster. And like I said, sweet Lord, is he on fire. So Elesmus Diaz kicked off this party in the offense with his 10th home run of the season, the big fly to center field. Got the Blue Jays on the board in the top of the fifth. Moving right along, the eighth inning, Lourdes Gurriel Jr. singles in Brandon Drury to, you know, first solidify his multi-hit performance and then get his first RBI of this game. In the ninth, I said everything kind of went nuts for the Chicago White Sox bullpen as the Blue Jays just completely pounced on him. Teoscar Hernandez ties up the game with a home run at three. Now the Blue Jays were tied. Brandon Drury would end up coming in and doubling in Ledmus Diaz after that. Luke Maley getting in the action as he mails home Brandon Drury after that on a back-to-back double situation. Lourdes Gurriel Jr. would then come in and hit Luke Maley home on another single as he goes picked up his third hit in his second RBI of the game. So this team is very young and very talented for the Toronto Blue Jays, as shown by some of these guys I've been highlighting. Randall Grichuk has also been on fire, and we're getting just enough from Kendrys Morales and others to make a nice little push here at the end of the season. My expectation is that some of these guys might get traded as far as the veteran talent goes. Kendrys Morales has at least revitalized himself as a possible trade chip. Not a good one, but possible trade chip. And some of these other guys are just going to continue to roll with it. Teoscar Hernandez has picked up his 16th home run of the season, and he's pacing to hit up to 20 at least here in the next couple months. So there's going to be more coming, and we're going to talk about the minor league system here in just a moment. So stay with us. So let's dive right into that minor league action here on the morning mash of the Jaybird Watching Gamecast. So not a lot of offense for the Buffalo Bisons as they get taken down by the Indianapolis Indians 2-0. Plenty of offense is coming, though, as they're going to have the new third baseman, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., who will be joining the team on Tuesday as they get back into action. Vlad was promoted over the weekend here and had the lovely day off of being able to share the moment with his father in Cooperstown, New York, as Vlad Sr. is inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, New York. So a nice road trip from New Hampshire for him as he's going to get to settle in and get to play Tuesday with the Buffalo Bisons. But on Sunday's action, like I mentioned, barely any offense to speak of. And by barely, I mean Brandon McKinney, new member, is the only offense because he picked up the one lone hit by the Buffalo Bisons as the Indianapolis pitchers were Magnifico, as Damian Magnifico was completely dominant through five innings, and then the bullpen picked it right up for the Indians after that. So insanely good performance for the Indianapolis pitchers. But on our side, things weren't too bad either. Matt Tracy pitched six strong innings of shutout baseball, allowing just one hit himself. Four walks, though, but four strikeouts to balance things out. And I completely didn't notice that was a doubleheader yesterday. So Craig Breslow picks up his loss in this one as he allows two runs in the other ones. And we're going to have to go back in time here and get to game one. That's my bad, everybody. I forgot they had a doubleheader yesterday. So as I backtrack here, the Buffalo Bisons offense was slightly better in a 2-1 victory in game one. So I'm sorry that we're working backwards here, but that's just how it's going to be here on the morning edition of the Jaybird Watching Gamecast. So just enough offense, like I mentioned, as in the second inning, Darnell Sweeney hit a sac fly to drive in Anthony Alford. And then the only other run that we needed, Tim Lopes doubles home Darnell Sweeney as the Buffalo Bisons win 2-1 over the Indianapolis Indians in game one. Seven hits picked up and a solid performance by Brandon McKinney as a pinch hitter in this one for Dalton Pompey. The expectations, I haven't read why Dalton Pompey was taken out of this game, but so was Joey Urshela also being taken out of this game for a pinch hitter in the early parts of this game. So the expectation is maybe they're somehow joining the team for the Toronto Blue Jays in the Oakland or whatever it might be. Maybe it's trade talk. I'm not sure. Either way, Brandon McKinney went 2-for-3 with a strikeout and led the offense for the Buffalo Bisons. Zach Stewart, great performance for him on the mound as he picks up his first win as a Buffalo Bison this season, as he is a former farmhand of the Toronto Blue Jays. Did not play with Buffalo in his previous stints. Five innings of work from him, four hits, just one earned run while walking two and striking out three. Roberto Osuna gets an inning of work as he picks up his second hold, allows two hits in his inning of work, and struck out a pair. Justin Schaefer picks up his ninth save of the season with a perfect seventh inning as the Bisons split the doubleheader against the Indianapolis Indians. Moving right along, the New Hampshire Fisher Cats completely dive all over the Hartford Yard Goats in an 8-1 victory where they pick up 11 hits. So this offense in the last two nights since Vlad has not been there doesn't seem to be hurting. In the leadoff spot, Bo Bichette led the way yesterday on Saturday as he picked up another home run, a triple, and I believe he was just a double short of this cycle. 1-for-5 performance for him. And everything in the middle of the lineup just continues to click as Harold Ramirez picks up another home run, his seventh of the season, and went 1-for-5. John Birdie getting in on the action as usual, but I'm kind of surprised to see him in the cleanup spot going 2-for-4 with a run scored. Max Pentecost getting in really good on this action here. A 3-for-4 performance with him with a double and two runs scored along with an RBI. Great performance from the young catcher. And honestly, I think he's one of the better catching prospects we have as well. It's been good to see him actually catching for the full time this season instead of being a DH/first baseman. Connor Panis getting in two runs scored as well as Santiago Espinal drives in a pair. But then we're going to get to the highlight of the night, which was Eduard Pinto. Eduard Pinto, four RBIs in this game and a 2-for-4 performance with a two-run blast as well as second home run of the season. Great performance as all that offense backs up a ridiculous start by TJ Zoik. Six innings of strong work, five hits, no earned runs while striking out five with no walks. TJ Zoik is coming fast, everybody. Get that name in your head because he has been on fire for the New Hampshire Fisher Cats. 3.32 ERA with a 7-4 record in this high-octane offense in New Hampshire. Nick Hartman also got in the action. Two innings of work from him, two hits, only allowing one run, and then Zach Jackson picks up the remaining inning as this game comes to a close. So great work by the New Hampshire Fisher Cats, finding plenty of offense in this one. Moving right along, the Dunedin Blue Jays took out the Jupiter Hammerheads as they win this one 3-2. Solid performance as the Dunedin Blue Jays continue to run up their record. They're 54-51 on the season and look to get another second half trophy for the Florida State League. Kevin Smith leading the way in this one with a solo home run, his 12th since joining the Dunedin Blue Jays, and he has just been a pleasure to watch. And batting in a three spot with a 1-for-4 performance. Joshua Palacios batting in the leadoff spot and being a great table setter with another 2-for-4 evening. And then the rest of the RBIs were picked up by Casey Clemens and Brandon Jacob. And the two of them are doing all right as far as things go. I think they're going to both improve very nicely. Casey Clemens got off to a tear with the Lansing Lugnuts and has been looking to stable things out since joining the Dunedin Blue Jays. Yesenia Diaz, a great start from him. 6 innings of work, 6 hits, only allowing 1 earned run on a solo blast. Improves his ERA for the Florida State League to 3.84. Great spot for him. Ty Tice would come in, and he's not just one of the coolest names in the Dunedin Blue Jays rotation, but picking up his 4th win in a 2-inning performance, allowing just 1 hit and striking out a pair. And then Nick Fishman would come in and get the save, his 7th of the season. Great performance as well as the Dunedin Blue Jays continue to improve and run with their second half here. Last stop on the minor league train here, we're going to have the Lansing Lugnuts, who are visiting the Dayton Dragons. And the Dragons, unfortunately, got the best of the Lansing Lugnuts as they melt them for 8 runs in this, 16 hits. The Lugnuts were only able to salvage 2 runs out of those 4 hits. Unfortunately, they went 0-for-8 with runners in scoring position, as they could just not find a way to get to the Dayton Dragons pitchers. And unfortunately, that's just how the cookie crumbles sometimes. Jordan Bartlett, unfortunately, got attacked in the second and third innings by the Dragons as he went in 3 1/3 with 9 hits and 4 runs. Only walked 1 batter, but didn't strike out any. Brandon Bocci would come in and pitch an inning in 2/3, kind of leveled everything out. Then, unfortunately for Emerson Jimenez, everything kind of came off the handle again in the 6th and 7th innings for the Lansing Lugnuts, as he allows 4 earned runs on 7 hits in his inning and 2/3. Everything would get leveled out for Orlando Pasquale, but by that point, it was unfortunately too little too late, as the offense just could not get back into this. And Lansing Lugnuts just fall 8-2. A little bit of offense that they did muster was in the 7th inning as they tried to get back into the game. Samad Taylor walked in Norberto Alboso on a bases loaded deal. And then Chavez Yon also walked as Ryan Gold scored in that same situation. So the only runs scored by the Lansing Lugnuts, unfortunately, were gifted to us by the Dayton Dragons in an evening where they just couldn't get the bats going. But everything will hopefully level out as they can move on and wrap this series up the next couple days against the Dayton Dragons. So, and then they get to come home, I believe, on Wednesday to take on South Bend Cubbies. So they'll wrap up these last 2 games in Dayton, and then they make the next trip home and hopefully reconstitute everything and get going. So, last bit of things. We'll jump in here and we'll talk. Marco Estrada is going to be taking the mound against Edwin Jackson as the Blue Jays travel all the way from Chicago to Oakland to take on the A's. The Blue Jays will be looking to pour some water on the hot Oakland A's team. And we'll hopefully see Marco Estrada healthy and getting back into the swing of things. He is currently 4-7 with a 4.72 ERA. Edwin Jackson for the A's, 1-2. On the year, and has a 3.86 ERA, as he's shown that he actually can revitalize his major league career as he picks this game up. So Blue Jays will look to keep those hot bats going and ride hopefully a good start for Marco Estrada, as they might hope to still trade him here before the trade deadline at the end of the month. So a couple days in, we're closing. And anyways, don't forget, if you're looking for seats, hit up seatgiant.ca for whatever your concert or your sporting event that you're looking to get to is, and use the promo code JBIRD, and maybe you'll be able to get a nice little 5% discount on your tickets. And don't forget as well, hit those subscribe buttons so you can join us here every weekday morning. I will be traveling to Grand Rapids, Michigan tomorrow, so the show might be a little late, but we'll see what I can get going in the morning. So anyways, thank you everybody for listening, and go Blue Jays.